This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover a lot of different topics on this program, but here we are in the middle of July, and it seemed like a good time to talk about agriculture in Douglas County. Local farmer Evan Cruz joining us from the farm this afternoon. Evan, thanks for being on.
No problem. It's always a pleasure.
So let's talk about the weather. First of all, it's been an interesting year for all of us with the weather, but I'm curious about your perspective about its impact on agriculture and maybe any shifts you've had to make due to the weather not being normal this summer.
Well, yeah, we started out in a really dry spring, looking at more historic drought numbers and irrigation, inavailability, things like that. And, it got to the point where we farmers would stand around and say, well, there's no catching up from this. And we darn near did. That May and June was so wet, we really did, between late season snows up in the mountains and 6 or so inches of rain in that month period, we really did catch up. So short term past, we definitely haven't been in a drought. We've been in an atypically wet spring, and that brought a lot of low energy days as well. So we saw a lot of things that were significantly delayed from normal. And when you pair that with the early maturity in crops from the previous couple of years with the very, very dry and hot springs, it's a big shift from just a few years ago in harvest date. So we saw a lot of things that were probably a month behind schedule as far as maturity goes. And like with hay crops, you can't make hay when it rains. So we had to wait even longer than that to get hay cut and baled and I'm still working on hay, where normally we'd be done mid-June.
Well, how do you deal with the fact that you constantly have to shift what you do? I mean, you're running an operation with a lot going on, very busy times, and, it'd be easy to say, like you just mentioned, all right, mid-June, we're done with this, we're going to go on to that, but yet you can't do it. How do you deal with all those shifts?
I think the important thing, and every grower knows their system very well, and the system is heavily dependent on nature, and so you engineer things around those natural inputs, whether it's sun energy that makes things grow, or rain, which at sometimes is great and other times is the worst thing in the world, but you have a system that's based on those inputs that we don't control, and you just react. I think we're beginning to see some of this indoor farming get away from that to where you can schedule everything. Short of doing things completely indoor, we have nature to deal with and that we depend on to do things. So we just have to roll with the punches.
What are you expecting weather-wise for the rest of the summer?
I'm going to try not to expect too much beyond the forecast that's given. It feels like it's going to be a fantastic summer. We've had a few hot spells, but, nothing crazy and nothing long-term. And, with crops, really, the nighttime temperature can have as much to do with plant stress as the daytime temperature does. If you've got a severe heat during the day, but you get really comfortable at night and let those plants recover, they fight through the hot peak periods of the day a lot better. So we've seen pretty ideal conditions so far, and going forward, it looks like we're going to have those ideal conditions. And that's more of a a field crop or row crop perspective of things. I know that the ranchers out there that rely on pasture production would love to see, you know, 6 inches of rain come down, which once I get my hay done, we could have that. That'd be fine.
So the past couple of years have been interesting. Last year, we had the hottest all-time temperature in Roseburg. Many other communities in Oregon set all-time records as well. In 2020, we were dealing with the September fires and the smoke from that. And because of those things, some rules came out for dealing with folks that are out working in that. And I'm curious how that impacts you and your operation.
Well, it's going to impact my personal operation a lot less with reduction of employees and everything with how we changed our farm around. But there will be a drastic impact here. OSHA has new rules. The heat rules went into effect on June 15th of this year, and the wildfire smoke rules went into effect on July 1st. So, you know, it puts a huge burden on ag employers to not only do more training, which, you know, training's not a bad thing. It generally isn't very well received by the ag workers. But we can do the training. The issue is the record keeping and the judgment calls. There's all these charts and different documents that you have to look at to know what the relative humidity is and whether the work is in full sun or partial shade. There's some reasonable parts of that, like providing water and a shaded break area that we've all been doing anyway. But I went through the chart and was thinking about, on a hay delivery, I could get into a situation where it was in the low 90s and the new law would require me to have the workers that I take out there with me have 45 minutes of break for every 15 minutes of work, and it's all paid. So that type of burden, I mean, that's in effect work shutdown, because no employer can pay people for 45 minutes out of every hour to be a break. And with those shutdowns, the workers are going to lose opportunities to work. And instead of having a decent judgment call, getting a job done, for instance, with a hay delivery, we'd go out, we would unload bales for an hour, you know, on the way out was relaxing in the truck, on the way back is relaxing in the truck, and it's hard work for an hour. It boggles my mind that the low 90s is where that, in effect, work shutdown would kick in. And the result of that is just going to be people won't hire employees to do that work. They'll figure out ways to do it with machines. And it's really sad because, you know, over the years we've had, I don't know, probably in the hundreds of ag workers here, and they're great people. They love being outside. They don't mind hard work, and their opportunities are bureaucratically being set away. I mean, they just really, it's not a friendly environment when you look at what ag employers are going to have to deal with as far as, you know, just even keeping records on what the weather is like. So if somebody gets sick, you can come back and say to OSHA, no, we had everything recorded. It wasn't because of the heat that you were talking about. So anyway, there's that end of things. And then the wildfire smoke. And I noticed that just the other day we had a bit of smoke coming in from the fires down in Yosemite. And I watched the air quality index that day and saw that we got up towards the 50s. And these new OSHA rules for wildfire smoke, they start to kick in at an air quality index of 100 or 101. So if it exceeds, if it's over 100, we have to provide people with, a certified respirator that they can wear voluntarily, and then at higher air quality index thresholds, the respirators become mandatory. And at that point, it's if a worker doesn't want to wear a respirator, they have to go home. So again, it really puts a lot of burden on the employers to force these things rather than, you know, provide options, flexibility, things like that with their employees. And the net result of this is going to be, you know, fewer crops harvested or a bigger change towards mechanized harvest. And the ag workers are going to see fewer opportunities to earn a living.
More with Evan Cruz when we come back, looking at agriculture in Douglas County this summer. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, meet the new City of Roseburg Public Works Director, Don Eastling. Evan Cruz with an agriculture update. Summertime here in Douglas County. We heard the inflation numbers out earlier today. Everybody is dealing with increasing costs. How does that impact you, Evan, and what's the customer's reaction when you have to adjust what you sell things for?
Well, some of the inputs that we're dealing with, you know, like diesel, for example, I guess the last time I bought diesel, we buy it by the thousands of gallons, not by the truckload. You know, I paid a little over $1 a gallon for it. And then recently, the latest delivery I took, it was well over $5 a gallon. And that really hurts. I mean, that is a cash flow crunch on ag operations. And, you know, some are more fuel dependent than others. I think, you know, we're moderately fuel dependent, but I've done a lot of things over the past decade to drastically reduce fuel consumption on the farm with tillage practice changes and things like that. And boy, it's paying off now. And I know we're not the only farm that has been looking at the volatility of fuel. And so, you know, kind of hedging our bets with some different farming practices. Other inputs, fertilizer, a lot of the fertilizer that we use was three times a typical cost. And, you know, it's just a function of availability. There's not enough of it to go around. And so they, you know, to allocate it, you price certain people out of the market. And fertilizer is directly correlating to the amount of food we produce. People may have seen what's going on in Sri Lanka now with basically the overthrow of their government. That all started with the limitations of, you know, modern fertilizers over there. Well, not limitations, an outright ban on modern fertilizers. Their food production dropped. They ended up with major hunger issues and, you know, everything snowballed, and now the government's overthrown. I don't think that's going to happen here. We definitely aren't in that type of setting. But with decreased food output in the nation, I think it will end up hitting other parts of the world, because the United States agriculture as a whole really does feed the world. We produce quite a bit more food than we need. So I think we'll have food here. We will see price increases, but as a nation, we're willing to pay more than some of the third world countries are. And I think there's going to be people in this globe that are in really tough shape. So where does it come from? It's probably, you know, an economics conversation, something to talk to Dave Littlejohn about rather than just a farmer. But we definitely see the impact of inflation. And I think the ag inputs have been far, far above the general inflation that you would see out there. Luckily, the customers that I've been dealing with, they get it. They understand it. I wouldn't say they're happy to pay the increased prices, but they're not blaming me, and I don't think they're blaming the farmers. I definitely don't get the sense that I'm being greedy or anything like that. So, it's nice to see. I think that's part of being in local agriculture. We're all part of a community and being nice to each other, doing what we can. I think I'm trying hard to keep my price increases to the minimum of what they need to be. Because for me, long-term customers are more important than making a quick buck.
What about the water situation and irrigation? How are things looking in that regard this summer?
Well, a whole lot better than previous years. When you look at the data for, just rainfall, we darn near caught up in the water year. The issue about irrigation, though, is a lot of irrigation comes from stored water at Galesville, and they can only do so much when the reservoir level is low. They have certain minimum flows that they have to maintain different times of the year and everything. And so while they sure did catch up a lot more than we had thought, they still aren't. The Galesville Reservoir isn't up where you would expect it after such a wet spring. And part of the reason is that the watershed that fills Galesville just isn't as big as the entire North and South Umpqua watershed. It's just a portion of it. But as far as I know, we are nowhere near the situation for curtailments as we have been in past years. I want to say a year ago next week, I would have had my first field shut off from irrigation. We had the first curtailments in June, and it's July already. So a year ago, we were already in reduced ability to irrigate crops. Now, I had planned on it. I didn't have anything in those fields that needed irrigation at the time. So it didn't really affect us very much. Later in the year, I definitely incurred some increased costs to do some water transfers on the farm in order to do some later season crops that really needed the irrigation. So I'll tell you personally, I probably need to get my irrigation pumps in, but I don't have my irrigation pumps in yet. And last year I had them in the beginning of May. So I guess the silver lining there is my power bill for my irrigation pumps is going to be way down compared to previous years. And I think that's a typical story around the county, whether you're in row crops or field crops or even, these irrigated pasture operations, they're going to see much lower power bills, which will, you take it where you can get it.
What about issues dealing with delays and maybe getting parts or getting supplies, things that you need for the farm?
That's been, that's not a new issue since COVID hit. We definitely have seen a slowdown on parts. I deal, a lot of my machinery is Kubota, and they've actually been pretty good on parts availability. I've run into some other things where, maybe it took a week instead of 3 days to get things because it's only in a warehouse, on the East Coast. But I've definitely seen an increase in the price of spare parts, which, again, I guess it's a good incentive for me to really take care of my equipment and maintenance. I'm lucky enough that I don't have any vehicles that take the diesel exhaust fluid. But a lot of farms do, and that's beginning to be a big pinch. And it isn't just the price of it's gone up. It's people are having a hard time finding it. And modern past 2000, it gets a little bit complicated which rigs do it. But like a pickup past 2010 takes diesel exhaust fluid if it's a diesel. And if you can't get it, the thing won't run. And so there are farms that are having a tough time with even keeping equipment running at all because of that availability. We've run into things with, filters for routine maintenance are harder to get. Good grades of motor oil have been harder to get or hydraulic fluids. A lot of the things people probably don't think about being a necessary part of a farm. But it's definitely an issue that we've dealt with. I guess it's not been as bad as I have thought it would be. I tried to be a little proactive. I think other farmers have definitely taken a bigger hit on that stuff with some equipment that, you know, is built overseas or something. They're having a hard time keeping it running.
Well, out of time for now, but Evan Cruz, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and everybody needs to get out and safely enjoy the sun.
All right, Evan Cruz, a look at agriculture in Douglas County, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.